Blog Talk Radio.
Blog Talk Radio.
There we go.
This is All About Wine, the talk show dedicated to the wine industry since 2009.
Featuring
winemaker, cellar master, vineyardist, and tasting expert, Ron.
Basically, what we're trying to do in this program is just trying to educate people and trying to make wine less confusing
and more friendly.
From coast to coast. And around the
world.
You know, we really have had some neat people on the program. I love that. I love that.
Questions and comments during the live show on our Facebook page at www.facebook.com/allaboutwinedtr.
Again,
that's www.facebook.com/allaboutwinedtr. And now, All About Wine
is on.
Here's Ron.
Yay! 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 All right. People are getting amped up for the holidays and
chilled
weather, the cold weather here in Florida. It's just amazing.
Yeah, yeah, we've been getting down to the upper 50s a couple times at night.
It's over with now.
It is. Yeah. I think that is the temperature here too, 75. Yeah, but oh well.
The dew point's gonna go down.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's gonna be a warm winter. The La Nina is moving in. It's gonna be a warm winter for us. So, so we are getting ourselves geared up for a warm winter. Mm-hmm. We're still keeping our sweaters and jackets and everything handy on the rack by the door, but.
Yeah, you know, close by, but not for any use or anything. Yeah,
right.
Sandals, shorts, t-shirts.
Right.
You know, casual.
Beach
wear.
Casual Florida. Yeah. But we don't want to put that stuff away yet because I was playing golf with one of the guys I play with. Spent his life in Ohio, and he goes, "Oh, it's so hot here." He says, "Will it ever be winter?" And I said, "Yes, there will be one day in January it will be winter. And if we're lucky, we'll play golf that day and we'll be cool. But otherwise, that's it."
Well, good. And you enjoyed another round of golf. You were talking about, before we started, about the Fitbit idea and how many steps you get in when you play golf. And there's a lot of work to that. You get a lot
there
of
is.
Exercise.
My wife got a new Fitbit and she gave me her old one. And I'm out there playing golf and played a long course, and I got over about 7,500 steps in a round of golf, which is just amazing.
Not bad at all. Yeah.
And that's still with a cart. And can you imagine if we walked the whole thing? So, looks like we have our guest in the green room. So we'll bring her out quick. This is Marie Liberetti. She is an award-winning author, a blogger, an influencer, an entrepreneur, a producer, a podcaster, and a little bit of everything else that she can possibly do. And she is going to take the time tonight to visit with us. So we will bring her on into the show. And hello, Maria. Thank you for joining
us. Hi. Thank you for having me. Thanks.
Oh, It's a pleasure. I'm glad you were able to take your time to put in an hour with us tonight and talk about a bunch of stuff here. So I just got through running through. Oh, I forgot chef. That was that's one of the things too.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
very important there. Yeah, that's considering that. So I gave all that stuff. Tell us how you came about to being a chef and your expertise in Italian. And you said you saw a vineyard outside your window growing up. Where was that? I mean, you have a lot of stuff to tell us about you. I'll just let you talk for a while.
Sure. Well, my whole thing of being a chef and studying cooking, the culinary arts, I studied in Italy, but I came to Italy because my family is from there, and I was actually modeling and got a job actually for a project in Italy. So when I was there for work, I ended up finally getting to meet some of my family that's over there that I've never met before. The vineyard you're talking about, my grandfather's family had a really large vineyard in the mountains of Abruzzo, which is kind of east, in the east. It's about 40 minutes from Rome. Really beautiful, unspoiled territory. So that's where I began kind of studying the culinary arts, and I spent time there because they actually made wine and cheeses and like the local cheeses and breads and things like that there. And actually cheeses and wines, that's what they made there. And then my grandmother's family, they had a big bakery in a neighboring region. So I ended up just studying all this history about my family, getting to spend time at those places. Then I ended up studying the culinary arts formally in Italy for a little bit, and just doing culinary programs at lots of really beautiful resorts and venues in Italy. And that was kind of how it all really began. I mean, I was always cooking and around food because grew up in a large Italian family. So we always, you know, it was kind of a tradition to do that on Sundays and holidays especially. So it was, I guess, just kind of like a natural extension. And so that was basically how I got to begin to, and I mean, experiencing Italy, it was just, there was nothing else like it. I really fell in love with the food and the culture even more, you know, experiencing it while I was there.
So you were born and raised here in the States, though, right?
Yes, I was born here in this. Yes. Yeah, and, but I lived there for a little bit for some time. But yes, I was. I was born here in the States, yes.
Oh, okay. And then, so Italy is basically the roots of the family, and that's where everyone came from and all that. So when you say you went home back to Italy. All right. Your food. Oh, I want to bring everybody up to date. Back in June, I got an email from one of Maria's interns saying that they were looking for people to be on the show for a quick interview because it was going to be Wine and Cheese Month, and they wanted wine people to interview and ask if I was free, and I was, and Maria had me on for about a 10-15 minute interview about cheese and stuff and wine and my pairings and my favorites and stuff, and that's where I first met her. And then, as an exchange program, I asked her to be on with us. And so that's how we connected there. And so,
yes, exactly. Yes.
I just, you know, want to let people up because we've, you know, the question, how would you get a hold of a chef to be on the show? And that is how. Questions that we were asked when I was on your show, and I want to ask you now. You asked me what some of my favorite wines were. Well, I want to throw that question back at you. What are some of your favorite wines and some of the foods pairings with it? Since you are a chef, I'll let you expand.
Yes, definitely. Well, now that the holidays are coming up, one of my favorite wines, and it was a wine that I had discovered in Italy, but it's now available in the U.S. You can find it. It comes from the Piedmont region, and it's a sparkling wine, so it's kind of festive, but it's a little, just a tinge of sweetness. I don't really like sweet wine, but it's just a teeny tinge of sweetness. It's called Brachetto. Brachetto Daiquiri, D'ACQUI. And it comes from the Piedmont region. And that's one of my favorite wines. And it actually pairs well with chocolate. Oh, it's so good. But it's used a lot for, like, you know, for New Year's Eve, it's traditional to have that, you know, whereas, you know, like Americans or French, they'll have champagne. That's Brachetto is a festive wine to have for, you know, any occasions, graduations, birthdays, New Year's Eve, the holidays. So it's a festive wine, you know, especially because it's a bubbly wine. So that's one of my real favorites. I like that
before
wine.
How is it spelled? So
oh, yes. Brachetto is Brachetto. Brachetto. And it comes from the Piedmont region.
Okay.
So...
So,
When I first kind of found it and started drinking it, I would actually always take a bottle back with me when I came here, when I came back home to the U.S. But now I guess people, maybe it was because of me, I started talking about it a lot. But you know, all of a sudden, I would ask people about it, and they're like, oh, yeah, you can find it, you know. So you can find it. I mean, I know different, because in the U.S., different states have different alcohol laws. But
right.
a lot of liquor stores do carry Brachetto. You can find it now in the U.S. So, yeah, it's from the Piedmont region, and it is a bubbly wine.
Good. That would be good. Like you said, the holidays come up. That would be a good wine for the holidays there. Because people tend to gravitate toward the bubblies on the holidays.
Yes. You know what? I'm sorry. It's B-R-A-C-H. Did I say C-C? I meant C-H-E-T-T-O. B-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-O.
B-R-A-C.
Two C's. One C and H. And it's two T's, Brachetto. And actually, the full name is Brachetto Daiquiri. So it's D, like dog, apostrophe, A-C-Q-U-I. But, I mean, some people just call it Brachetto.
Yeah, so if people are looking for it in liquor stores or wine shops.
Then... B-R-A-C-H-E-T-T-O, yes. If you just call it that from the Piedmont region.
All right. So, yeah, because... You know, people probably, you know, you mention something like that and people will go, what was that? How do you spell it? You know,
there's actually a grape called Brachetto. So that's why it's called, the name of the wine is Brachetto. Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. So, well, that makes it easy. You know, people tend to go sparkly on holidays, and I'm always preaching to them.
Yeah, they do. They tend to go sparkly, yes. And, I mean, Prosecco is one of my favorites also, but Brachetto is just, like I said, it's just got this little tinge of sweetness, that ever so faint amount. And I like it. Prosecco reminds me of champagne. But Brachetto is, you know, it's bubbly, but it's got this tiny tinge of sweetness. So it's a little different, you know, and it can be, it's got such a faint sweetness that you could pair it with, make it like a dessert wine, but you could still enjoy it with cheese. And it's actually pretty interesting too, with certain cheeses and things as well, if you do a pairing. You know, with like even a cheese like a Parmigiano Reggiano or another cheese, you know, you can do it with. Really with any. I mean, Parmigiano is a sweet. It actually has a little bit of a sweetness to it, but but Brachetto is really, like I said, my favorite thing to do is have it with something chocolatey. It just pairs really well with chocolate.
Is Brachetto a grape?
Is it? I'm sorry. What is it? What
is Brachetto? Is that the name of the grape, or is?
Oh, Brachetto. Yes, it is. There is a Brachetto grape that that wine comes from. Yes.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yes. Yes. There's definitely. There's a grape that is called Brachetto, and that's why they make the Brachetto.
Okay. Yeah, because most wines aren't any after grapes anyway, and that's why I was, you know, wondering.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yep.
Okay. Good. And any others that any other wine and food pairings that you might suggest?
Sure. Well, I actually favor Brachetto is a red. It's actually red too, so it's red bubbly. Yeah,
wow.
It's a red bubbly. I meant to
mention that.
I forgot. Yeah, so it's a red bubbly.
I was thinking white, and then you say with chocolate, and mostly red is paired
right.
with chocolate. And I thought, well, maybe
it's,
this
exactly.
is
exactly. Yes, I forgot to mention it is a red sparkly wine.
Wow.
But I usually, I mean, you know, I like Barolos, of course, but I do, I really prefer the lighter white wines, and I love, like, in the summertime, I think they're really refreshing. So one of my favorites is a wine, it's actually called Est, and that is E-S-T, and it's actually spelled E-S-T with an exclamation point three times, like you repeat the word Est. So, and there's the, I love the wine, but it's a very light white wine, and it comes from a town outside of Rome called Montefalcone. I think that's the name of the town. And it also has a funny, kind of an interesting story about how that wine was, like, discovered. And it has to do with back in, it was probably like the 1700s, that one of the popes was traveling through Rome, and, you know, the popes like really good wine and food, at least back then they did. I don't know about the popes.
They still
now,
do, I think.
So that was really to any Italian, when you travel, food and wine is like really important. So he had somebody scoping out his route. And he told them that, because at that time there were only like these little kind of little taverny hotel, combo tavern hotel places you could actually stop at for the night. So he told the person that was scoping out his travels that if you find a place with good wine and food, right on the door, put a sign on that on their door with the word S. E-S-T. And if it's really good, put S two times. So the story goes that they found this tavern that had this wine that was so good that this guy wrote three times S-S-S. But it's a really nice, it's a light wine. It's really, really refreshing in the summertime. It's good to have with risotto or really anything. That's a really good white wine. And I, like I said, I like it because it's light. And the other wine I like, well, there's two others that I really like. And one is, it's actually from an heirloom grape that they've just started making this wine again. Well, just started probably like 10, 15 years ago, I guess. It comes from a grape called Pecorino. And Pecorino is a cheese, which you might know of. I'm not sure if you know, you know Pecorino cheese.
Yeah.
So from the same region is this grape called the grape, they call it Pecorino. And they started, they had made a wine from this grape many years ago. And they, like I said, they just started doing this again. And again, Pecorino wine, there are some places, in fact, I visited a really neat little small organic winery in the Lamarque region of Italy that, and there's two regions, I believe, that make this in Lamarque and Abruzzo. And it's a white wine. It is actually a little, has a little bit more, a higher alcohol content than most of the white wines. You know, it's a little bit up there, but so it has a little bit more of a kind of a punch, but that's a really good, it's an interesting wine. It's a little bit stronger than your, you know, than the white wines. And then Montepulciano. Oh, what were you going to say? I'm sorry, what's that?
Do they oak these wines, or they just keep them fresh and light, all of them, these whites you like?
What, say that again? Do they what?
Do they put any oak on these wines, or do they just keep it fresh and light all the way through?
I'm pretty sure they keep it fresh and light all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
Now,
okay.
Pecorino, maybe not. But I'm pretty sure they do. I think they do just keep them fresh and light. I'm pretty sure they do.
It sounds like the way you're describing it, it sounds like it, you know, it just they try to keep it as fruity as possible and not put any oak in it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, that could be, yep. That could be definitely true.
And
I think they probably do with those two.
And with the higher alcohol, though, that's why I was asking, because of the higher
alcohol.
Yeah,
with the one with the higher alcohol, I'm not sure. That one does have a higher alcohol content.
Yeah,
so
a lot of times those are oaked, you know, to try to.
Yes, that's what I was just going to say. So
yeah.
that may be have oak. Yep, definitely. That one might be.
Yeah,
definitely.
Just curious. And you were going to say, there was another one.
Oh, and then I was going to say, so there's one other one that's pretty interesting that's really difficult to find in the U.S. It's really, now this one is definitely a sweet wine. It's a dessert wine. It's called Vin Santo. I don't know if you've ever heard of it.
Yes,
but,
I have.
Okay, there you go. So, but, you know, I don't even know if you can find it in the U.S. I'm not even sure if you can. Do you know?
I've had it in
the
U.S.
In
the
U.S.?
Know,
in the U.S.?
Yes, but it was a number of years ago when I was living in California. And I had a favorite wine shop there that I used to frequent. And the owners and the people who worked there knew me. And so they would bring out different ones that were new, and that came in, and they said, here, you have to try this. This is from Italy. It's really, really interesting. And I tried it, and I'd forgotten about it until you just mentioned it again. And
Yes. So that wine is a typical, like a Tuscan wine, and it's served at, like, the tradition was actually that wine was used, it's called Vin Santo, it means holy wine, because it was used in the Catholic Mass for Easter. The priest would use that, but in Tuscany it's like the tradition that at the end of your meal you would have Vin Santo at the end of the meal, because it's a dessert wine, and it's really good with a traditional Tuscan biscotti, which are, you know, those cookies, hard cookies, you have twice baked biscotti. So it's really good. So I kind of like things that have an interesting story to them. So Vin Santo has a real interesting story, and I actually did a TV series for PBS, and I did it in Italy. And I did go to a vineyard, and I was in this one place where they age the Vin Santo. And oh my gosh, the smell was just so, it was incredible. Oh, I got to go inside the cave where they were, you know, aging the Vin Santo. And smell so good, because it's a sweet wine. So really, that is one of definitely a favorite, but it's just one you really don't, I think, with, you know, a normal, like a white wine that I mentioned, or even Brachetto, you're going to, you know, you might have a bigger glass, where this Vin Santo, well, you know, you have Vin Santo.
Yeah.
So you probably have a smaller, because it's like a dessert.
like an ice wine or
right, that's
something
it.
Along, you know, or a Hungarian toque or something like that. It just you sauternes. It's just a little bit. It's sweet. It's just a little bit, and
yes.
it's used as a dessert itself. And
yeah,
the like you said, the hard cookies just complements it a little bit there. Yeah,
yes, we do. It's like I said, it's definitely a Tuscan thing because anywhere you go. In fact, the kind of running joke is that when they, you know, if you go to someone's house for dinner and they pull out the vin santo, you know that it's the end of the dinner because it's just so traditional.
That's it.
that's the end of the dinner. You know, it's the end of your dinner. So, but I know, I know it's like a longer aging fermentation process, I believe, and I think it's a lot more expensive and things like that to age it. So I think that's one of the reasons why it's not really that easy. In fact, in Italy, it's not that easy to find either.
Really?
So,
it was years and years ago I had it. And I have never seen it since then. In fact, I looked for it.
Right.
For a number of years, and then I just forgot about it because it can never be found, and so.
Yeah, I've never had it in the U.S. I had it there, but they sell it, like when they sell it, it's in smaller bottles. Because the last things I did on TV was I was in Montepulciano and some of the vineyards in the Tuscan region. And the Vin Santo, I know they're sold in smaller bottles. And like I said, you just drink like a small, kind of a little shot glass of that. But it's just an interesting, you know, it has an interesting, definitely an interesting backstory to it. So that's another one of my favorites also.
And most people don't think of a very sweet wine like that from Italy. When they think of sweet wines, again, it's the Hungarian Tokay or the Sauternes from France or even ice wines from, you know, Germany.
Right.
But a very sweet wine like that is not something that you think about when you think of Italian wine.
Exactly. There's also another one that's really good that comes from Sicily, and I'm trying to think of what the name is. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not as sweet as Vin Santo, but it's a sweet wine, and it comes from Sicily, and I've used it in desserts, and I can't think of the name of it.
I don't recall, no.
No, I can't think of it. That's also another good wine. That's also another good one, but I just can't think of the name of that one. But that's a good one.
Don't think I've ever had a sweeter wine from Sicily. Most of them are not. They're dry stuff.
Yes.
Almost all of them from
Sicily. This one is actually, it's known for like you would use it for desserts. And that's why, you know, because it's a sweeter wine, and I know I've used it for a dessert, and I'm just trying to think of the name of it. But that's another good wine. And I guess I'm just getting on this topic of sweet wines. I usually don't really like sweet wines that much. It just so happens that those I do like those. The ones that I've mentioned. But, yes, that's what it is. You know what? I think it's Malvasia.
Malvasia.
That's it.
That's one.
Yes.
I think
that is a little sweeter. I'm pretty sure that's
it. It is a little sweeter, but not as sweet as the Santo.
No. Well, Vin Santo, nothing is like, even the Brachetto, nothing is as sweet as that. Vin Santo is almost like a syrupy. Almost like a sour beet. No, it's not. There's nothing
like
else that's
wine.
That sweet. Yes, exactly. But it is, it's a, Malvasia is sweet. I think it's similar to like a Moscato.
Yeah.
And,
it's
good with desserts. And I know, like I said, I know I've used it with, I've used it in desserts also. I don't remember which ones, but I just can remember getting that and going all, you know, to a few places looking for this Malvasia there while I was there. So that's a good one also.
Yeah, it's I've had Malvasia. I wasn't I haven't had
Malvasia,
it in a long time though.
Zabibo. Yes. You know what else? There's one called Zabibo. Have you ever heard of that one?
That one I have not, no.
Yeah, that's a little bit, that's pretty interesting. And it's not really sweet. I would say it's not, it's kind of, but that is an interesting one, Zabibo. It's a little teeny bit sweet. But the other one I like, and it's just, I think this would be more considered like a table wine, the Montepulciano from Abruzzo.
Oh,
so
yeah.
People are always saying, oh, Montepulciano, they all always think of Montepulciano from Montepulciano, Tuscany.
Right.
And the Montepulciano from Abruzzo, I actually prefer it more only because the soil in Tuscany is very much made of like rocks and
it's volcanic. And,
you know, it's the wines that come from Tuscany are, I don't know what the right word is to describe. Nothing against the wines from Tuscany, but what I'm just trying to say is, so when you taste the Montepulciano from Abruzzo, it's got a softer, kind of gentler feel to it. That's what I'm trying to say. Where Tuscany is
quite as acidic.
That's it. Yes.
Tuscany Montepulciano tends to be a little bit more acidic, a little bit more of a bite to it. Whereas
yes,
you get away, you don't have that. The acid tends to.
Yes,
salt.
Exactly. It's because of the soil. Because in Abruzzo, you're in like the mountains are unspoiled, and you know it's kind of far away from a lot. Whereas Tuscany, you know, well, Tuscany, there's some back roads and stuff like that too. But Abruzzo is a little bit is the soil is different, and the wine, that's one of my favorite, you know,
yes,
the Montepulciano of Abruzzo, the sweet, I mean, not, that's not sweet, that's a table wine, wine, and then the white wine that's kind of the brother or sister to Montepulciano is called Trebbiano d'Abruzzo, is the white wine, those are two that I like. I mean, Abruzzo is where my family's from and where I lived for so long, so I'm kind of familiar with those two, the Montepulciano and Trebbiano. So I like the wines of Abruzzo, those two anyway.
Whenever anyone mentions Italy and asks what my favorite wine, I, without hesitation, immediately say Barbera. That without...
Oh, Barbera, that's a really good... Yep, that's
really
good too.
My favorite wine coming out of Italy with... You know,
yes.
It's just, I love Barbera, and it's one of my go-tos. If somebody says, "What do you want from Italy?" Barbera, without question.
Yes, no question, right?
Yes,
that's
question.
That's definitely a good wine. Yes, definitely.
And it's, you know, even here in the States, a nice Barbera from Italy is not that expensive.
It's really not. The one thing, too, that I always tell people is the Tuscan wines, you know, because we were talking about the Montepulciano. So when you get the Montepulciano from Tuscany versus the one from Abruzzo, the one from Tuscany, because Tuscany, they do spend loads of money on promotion and publicity and advertising, which is the truth. So their Montepulciano, where, you know, is going to be a lot costlier than the Montepulciano of Abruzzo. And, you know, it's a good wine, the Montepulciano of Abruzzo, and you can get that for a little bit less, you know, of a cost. And it's a good wine for a really reasonable cost. So
that's a good point too. The advertising makes a big difference on that. That's one of the things about Barbera. You don't see it advertised, you don't see it talked about, and
right.
stuff like that. And the price
exactly
is still pretty reasonable on all of the stuff you get in the Barberas out of Italy. So
yes, definitely.
I am going to move on to something else here. Is your books. You are a author of lots of different books. We have to talk about those and give you some little side promotions on your books here for people. The Basic Art of Italian Cookie Da Vinci style. Now, why is that? Is that a different style than, say, grandma style?
I called it Da Vinci style because I did the book on, well, here's the backstory to that. So when I was in Italy, I started doing research on, I just have always been so fascinated with Leonardo da Vinci, and I started doing more research on him, and I found out that in my research that he actually was a foodie, and there were lots of inventions of his that people aren't aware of because, you know, the Mona Lisa, the Last Supper. I mean, who wants to talk about him inventing a fork or an olive oil press? Who's going to talk about that? Those things are pale in comparison to all the big time things he did. But he did. He invented the spit, like the spit that they use. I guess it's kind of like a roaster for chicken. You know, he invented that. Yeah. He invented the olive oil press. He invented lots of things. Even the point of where the idea of like coordinating the linens for the table and making a really aesthetic table. He basically started that, and he actually did plan out weddings. That was like one of his favorite things to do. I mean, these big things where he would have like actors and dancers and, you know, for wealthy people. So, I mean, and in the research, they claim that he actually planned out the Mona Lisa's wedding. He was the wedding planner for that wedding. And and there's actually some stuff around that point to this cheese, which I can't think of the name of it, but he made it the official cheese of Mona Lisa's wedding. And this cheese uses Mona Lisa as kind of for their website. I have to think of the name of this cheese. Oh my goodness. It's neat because it looks like it's aged in the form of like a wedding cake, like with layers kind of tiered. But anyway, so to make a long story short, so I got more and more into researching this. So I wanted to do a book a little bit about, and he had a restaurant in Tuscany with Sandro Bocelli, who is a very famous artist, who they went to art school together. And but they just, it only lasted 6 months, the restaurant that they had. But because what they did was they actually artistically, and you can find the menu, they artistically drew out this menu that was really hard to figure out, and they would want to serve dishes like aesthetically pleasing, which people didn't have a clue back then. They were just used to the food being kind of plopped and big, you know, big like bowls. So it just like, whoa, it was like way over people's heads. So it didn't do too well, but he was definitely one of the original foodies. And so what I do is I wanted to do this book and kind of dedicate it to him and a lot of stuff about him. So each chapter is about a town in Italy that he lived in and the work that he did there. And then each chapter has the traditional recipes that I came up with that were the traditional recipes from that particular town. So because he lived in different cities in Italy. Yes. And then I have poetry that he did write poetry about different foods that were found in his notebook, and but it was in old Italian. So I had a professor translate the old Italian, translate. There's like three or four poems that we have from him that he wrote that are in the back in the book also. So that's why it's called Da Vinci Style. And I actually kind of had a I guess you call it a Da Vinci moment. A famous artist in Italy had painted my portrait and exhibited it all throughout the world. So I have on the cover, it's kind of like me as the Mona Lisa. So we have that also. We couldn't figure out what to put on the cover. And I'm like, you know what? So then we kind of thought about it. And so anyway, so it's all kind of, you know, devoted to Da Vinci, and it's related to that. And I get it. People are so fascinated with him. I get asked to do presentations on the book all the time. And, people really are so interested in that.
You're telling about him. You're telling the story about him and all that. And only, you know, you have, well, it says there's over 100 recipes throughout the book. So it's not just, you know, stories about him, but it's these recipes and the areas and all that stuff. It sounds fascinating, really.
Yes, it is. It is. It was just, it was really, really interesting doing the, you know, doing the research on him too. Really interesting.
Oh, it sounds like a great book on that. And Leonardo da Vinci is just a fascinating figure in itself. Every once in a while you'll see something and say that he invented this and you're going, oh wow, you know, it's just like,
it's unbelievable, but there's almost nothing that I don't think he didn't, you know, invent. He just invented so many things that, you know, or started the makings of, you know, the bicycle, the submarine, like I said, the place settings. I mean, it's just, the list goes on and on. So, he invented so many different things.
And so many things were invented that the technology wasn't there to build it or to even imagine it. But there he said, this is what it should be.
Exactly.
And it's amazing. Just absolutely amazing.
Since we are in the
holiday season, you did not stop with just one cookbook. You have another, and that is The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, Holidays and Special Occasions.
Yes. Yeah, that one is all about – so that one is – each chapter is devoted to a different holiday, and it goes from, Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, New Year's Eve, New Year's Day, Valentine's Day, Carnival, which is like Mardi Gras in Italy. That's kind of like your Mardi Gras.
The Epiphany, the Feast of the Seven Fishes.
Yes, and the Feast of the Seven Fishes also. So in each chapter, again, is devoted to a holiday. And the books are actually culinary memoirs. So I have stories in there, autobiographical stories, and menus that go with each chapter. And then there's about 10 recipes for each, that go with each chapter also in that book. That one is more holiday oriented, but I always say, you know, it doesn't have to be a holiday to use the recipes. You can really make any day a holiday. But that book has gotten, is really famous it's really popular for the holidays, and that's sold actually all around the world. It's only in English, but I'm working on getting that translated, but it's become really popular. It won an award in Paris called the Gourmand World Award. So, so that has become really, really popular. Yes. And I usually do presentations, especially for this time of the year, the Feast of the Seven Fishes, but because of the way things are, I have not been able to do live, you know, a lot of live events. So, we're doing some virtual, I usually do lots of live, you know, wine pairings or holiday type of cooking classes on the Feast of the Seven Fishes, which everybody seems to be fascinated with too.
For those of us who are not familiar with the Feast of the Seven Fishes, quickly, what is it?
Yes, so that's actually for Christmas Eve, the Italians, well, it has its roots in the Catholic religion, so you're not supposed to eat meat on Christmas Eve. And so the meal, you know, loosely, you know, there's people saying it's seven fishes, but actually in Italy, it's just, they call it La Vigilia, which is Christmas Eve. And people just eat, the meal is just all seafood. It's no meat at all. And then on Christmas Day, you do have meat. So, but here for some reason, you know, some people will say seven fishes. Some people will say nine fishes, you know, different dishes. So you have that many. But like I said, in Italy, they just have many. Christmas Eve is made up of many courses, and it's usually made up of seafood and either risotto or some kind of a pasta dish, you know, but it's at least seven to nine courses. So, but that's the tradition of having seafood. You know, you have seafood for Christmas Eve, and then usually Christmas Day is some kind of a festive lasagna. Oh. And that's when they'll have meat on Christmas Day. So, yeah, that's what the Feast of the Seven Fishes is about. It's a multi-course meal, and, you know, you want to have at least seven different seafood dishes. Any seafood is fine. Seven different seafood dishes. So.
Wow. I'm not Italian, so that's why I am not familiar with it. I never.
That's the Feast of the Seven Fishes. So it's just at least the seven, you know, seafood dishes. And the seafood could be anything. I know I've had people make grilled eel on Christmas Eve. And the thing also, we were talking about Leonardo da Vinci. So in the picture of the Last Supper is pictured grilled eel and oranges, and that was like a big kind of a dish that was in one of the cookbooks from way back when it was a cookbook that Da Vinci had in his library. So grilled eel is something that comes from like the, you know what, 1700s, 1800s, that people were doing grilled eel. So they grill it over the fireplace, and it's actually very interesting. Yes. So.
And you've had grilled eel, I take it.
Yes. Uh-huh. It's actually really good for you too. So, but yes. Mm-hmm. So grilled eel and oranges is, that's what's pictured in the Last Supper. And, yes, and that's sometimes that's one of the courses for Christmas Eve. Yes.
All these holidays here that you have in this book, you still stay with the Italian style cooking and everything?
What do you mean, in the book, or do you mean personally?
Yeah.
In the book, there, it's traditional Italian, but I do, you know, sometimes I might tweak it a little bit, but I try to stick to the traditional, you know, way of doing things. Sometimes I might try and make it a little bit healthier in one or another way, but usually I stick to the point of having just all real, you know, real ingredients, real foods, real ingredients, not using really anything, say, you know, processed or whatever, just, you know, real simple ingredients.
Yeah,
so in that way, it's traditional.
It's delicious, and it's probably
full
of fats and flavors that we just absolutely love. So,
yes, exactly. Exactly.
The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, that just seems like that's an extension of the the others that you just
had more recipes
you need to do?
Well, that was the first one. That was actually, so we worked our way back. So that was, we went from the third one to the second to the first. So that was my very first one. Excuse me. And that one is actually a coffee table book. It's like 6x9. So it's, is it 9x6 actually?
Nine by six.
That one is my first one. And that one has, again, it's a culinary memoir. So it has stories about the little towns that I've gone to and lived in and all in Italy. But also, it has the most simplest recipes, like I think the easiest recipes, excuse me, that people can, you know, people that might not be really experienced or they were, you know, not sure what they want, if they want to try something or whatever, really the easiest recipes, the most basic recipes are in that. But that has some, and it does come with, does have menus in there too to combine the different recipes. But each recipe there kind of relates to the stories in that chapter.
And that would be a good way to get your feet wet, so to speak, in Italian cuisine, if you want to
Exactly. Yes. So that was the first one. Then the holidays one was the second, and then the Da Vinci one was the third.
Oh, okay. And I'm looking at your website, I guess it is here, and this shows them in the order I'm reading them down through here. It doesn't say anything else. But then the fourth one here, The Basic Art of Pizza, a little short book.
Yes. Well, there's actually about, so that is in a series that I started called The Basic Art of, and each of those books relate to one topic. They're short. So you're right. The Basic Art of Pizza, then there's The Basic Art of Pasta, The Basic Art of Cocktails, The Basic Art of Coffee.
Basic Art of Christmas Dinner.
Christmas Dinner, yes. So that's
and
just
the basic
really
art of
that.
A
Tuscan style wedding, yes. And,
the
Basic Art of Experiencing Venice. That was another one. And that's all on Venice. And then so those are the shorter books, and they're devoted to one topic. And I have another book that's coming out it'll be April. It's just called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking Diaries. And it's coming from, with the pandemic and all, I just had some extra time and I couldn't go back to Italy. And I had all these diaries that I had written while I was there and studying cooking. So what I did was I went and I went through my diaries and my blog that's up already and decided to release the diaries in book form. So this will be the first one. This is called The Basic Art of Italian Cooking Diaries Seasons. And this one is each chapter. There's four long chapters. Each chapter is devoted to a season. And and the recipes relate to those seasons and those diary entries that I have. So that'll be my new series of books that's coming out in
April. Oh, you're
going to
make a whole series of that then? Okay.
Probably, yes, because I have so many diary entries that I had kept while I was there. So we probably will do at least one more.
But there's the key to it, that your diaries, you kept obviously very good diary notes and you can refer back to them now. And so that's
excellent. Exactly. I have them all over the place because I'm the type of person that I like to keep like these little notebooks everywhere, even by my bed, and sometimes I'll scribble stuff. So I find my stuff all over the place, but yes.
All sorts of notes. I'm looking at your website here. I noticed a couple of things here. Ghost hunting in Italy. I mean, like, ghost. I mean, that's what you mean? Ghost?
Yes. There are really haunted There's haunted castles in Italy, and for, you know, especially for like Halloween, that's a big thing, is touring the haunted castles. But that's kind of on my website. I have like a, you know, a written tour of the types of castles and places to see. But there's interesting places that, you know, obviously because Italy's so old. That, I mean, it's older compared to, you know, the USA. So
right, yeah.
There's a lot of tales of different places being inhabited by, you know, by ghosts and things. So, but those are definitely the castles that are supposedly haunted. And yes.
Well, we do a October, we always do a haunted show. We have a lady that is always Joy Neighbors, who does blogs, and she speaks on genealogy and all that. And she's always been encountered by spirits or ghosts, if you will, over her life. And so she's always on in October, and we talk about it.
Oh, wow.
So that's why I caught my eye there.
Oh, yes, yes.
A lot of haunted stuff, I imagine, would be more so in Europe and Italy and all around over there than there would be in the United States, although there are many, many tales that we have here in the United States.
Yes, definitely. Yes, yes.
So that's interesting.
Yes, it is interesting.
Yeah. It. You know, in fact, there's a haunted winery not too far from where I am here in Florida.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
they have
ghost ghost walks every Saturday night, and
they really.
Yeah, they do. They have ghost walks, and they've been on the show a couple of times talking about the ghosts around there and all that. So, and then there's other wineries around the country that have ghosts. I've had them on the show and talked about Belvoir in Missouri, and there's one in West Virginia that is haunted. So yeah, they're all over the place.
Wow, I didn't know that about the wineries being haunted.
Yeah.
How about that? Yeah,
you know, there's wineries around. So it's just interesting stuff. It's
yes,
stuff.
It is. It is interesting.
Yeah. So, but you have your webpage. That's just what I keep referring to. For those of you who want to check it out, it is Maria, M-A-R-I-A, Liberati. Is it pronounced Liberati?
Yes, Liberati. Liberati.
Liberati.
That's correct.
LIBERATI.com.
Mm-hmm.
And go to that, and there's all sorts of stuff on there. It's a homepage. It tells about Maria and what she has been doing in her life. It's the store where the books are. You can order those, and let me promote you a little bit here. You can order any of those books. I'm sure they're available through Amazon or any other number of places that have books available. Are any of them available for download, so you can just read them on tablets
or something? Kindle has them for downloads.
Okay.
On Kindle, you can read them. Yep, on Kindle, I know you can get them through Kindle as a download. Yes.
Okay, so there you go. You can go through Kindle, or you can go again. Amazon, I'm sure, has them, or any number of other places that sell books. I'm sure they're on a lot of that. But it also has her blogs, some videos, a list of her podcasts, and different places she's appeared on, a gallery of different things. And if you have any comments or any questions for her or anything, you can always contact her, and I'm sure she will be happy in her busy schedule to get back with you on legitimate questions
definitely.
Or comments. And, I say, you know, legitimate questions and comments.
Yes, definitely. Yes, please.
Yeah, Mike, do you have any comments or questions or anything to say to Maria while she's here? Mike, did you leave us? He should be there.
Oh.
right now.
There what? You are. All right.
I'm over here talking. I'm like, wow, they can't hear me. Okay. Yeah, I had to reset something. While you were talking about the Mona Lisa, it's a live show. You know, if this was recorded, we could cut that out.
I mean, but, yeah.
Unfortunately. We've done that in the past, actually. You were talking about Mona Lisa, and I found some matches for cheeses. And I found Gouda. I don't know if that's it. Or
no,
pecorino,
that's not it. I say that again.
Pecorino
nope.
Trebbiani. Okay.
No, that is a cheese, but that's not it. It's I believe it begins with a B, and
there's no matches.
No B's.
I'm gonna lose sleep over this now.
It is really cool. When it's aged in in the form of a wedding cake, and it was like way back then they would register because each cheese is from a different region. So back then, you know, if you had a lot of money and you had a special event, the cheese that you had was like the registered cheese for that event. And this cheese was the registered cheese for Mona Lisa's event. I'm going to look to see if I can find it real quick. I know it's really driving me crazy because they actually use her but it's Italian. The website is in Italian.
Yeah.
And, they use her likeness for, let me do something, for the, this
I can hear
cheese.
The keyboard.
And it is just, yeah, but anyway, this was like the registered, I cannot, I, you know, I'll find it when we're done, but,
I'll post it on our site. Email it to me and I'll post it because everyone now is starting to say, okay, what is it? And, you know,
yes.
It has to be there. The other thing you were talking about was, the cookbooks and the Italian cooking. My mom was from, Verona and, when you were talking about the pastas and the dishes and everything, I missed the most, well, besides her, is the home-cooked Italian food is just so much. Nothing comes close to it. I mean, she would hand make the dough and put it through this metal, I don't know what the thing was, but it could form spaghetti and lasagna and everything that you wanted Italian-wise. The whole dining room table just filled with noodles and you know, everything you could think of. Just like, wow, this is gonna be a feast.
Yes.
And the food cannot beat the food, the home cooked food, Italian food. I'm gonna have to look at your book and see what you have there. And, she's still searching. I can see that. She's still like.
Yes, it's just driving me nuts. But yes, you're absolutely right. And you know, usually like our grandparents would take like two weeks to cook the stuff, you know, stuff that they made for Christmas. That was like a big thing. I mean, they would be cooking for at least two weeks before with the cheeses and the cookies. In fact, a lot of the cookies that they made and the sweets, you can't even find them there because they're things that take a long time, you know, take a couple of weeks, some of the doughs and things like that and preparation and all of that. So not everything do you still find there, even in Italy. So, but yes, they, you know, there was food all over the place during holidays, definitely.
Oh, yeah. Almost like an event.
Like, yes, yeah. Yes, definitely like an event. Yes, yes.
Yep. Yeah, but wine. Oh, yeah.
I mean, everybody had wine. I'd always tell people that came into the winery, I said, you know, you go into an Italian neighborhood and everybody would have wine. And the UPS guy knock on the door and they'd answer and say, come in, have a glass of wine. And the mailman would deliver a package. Come in, have a glass of wine. And, you know, people walking down the street, come in. I mean, this is Italian neighborhoods are that way. They just, they all made their own little batch of wine and they wanted to share it with everybody.
Oh yeah. When I was, let me tell you, Ron. When I was in Italy, I was 8 years old, and we went to the Swiss Alps. I guess it was on that side. Took a train, took a bus, I think it was, and we go to this like a big lodge. I don't know if I told you this, Ron, but long tables. Everybody sat next to everybody. There could have been, you know, several hundred people in this place, and they would come around and put a bottle of wine between two people. And they put a bottle of wine between my brother and I, and I'm like, I'm eight. And I go, what am I supposed to do with this? Mom says, you're supposed to drink it. Let me open it for you. I was like, what? And I mean, every two people got a full bottle of wine. And if any, you know, the adults would empty it, I'm sitting there going, no way, I still have to go skiing. And I'm eight. And
it was
the best time. I mean, it's just amazing how different the, you know, the culture and everything is. It's just,
yeah,
you know, hey, here it is, you know. None of like what we would have today. They couldn't even.
No.
Not even close. But, yeah, it was,
yes.
It was a great time.
Yes, definitely.
That's funny.
What?
Drink up. I'm not a midget. I'm a kid.
Right, exactly. Oh, my
God. No ID card. You didn't have the ID or nothing. That was great.
Yeah. No ID,
Yeah. They didn't card it. Okay, we have to figure out this cheese thing. We can't go without that. Okay. Canadians, no. Anyway, no, I don't have. I appreciate that. I'm gonna have to check out the website and see. Check out your books, and you mentioned Kindle, so that's a good option as well as.
Yeah, you can download them from Kindle, definitely.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm gonna check those out.
But they're,
anybody
they're
else
all,
out there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, go on, Mike. I'm just gonna say they're all available.
No,
everything's
just,
available out there, and
yeah,
the whole stack of. Again, go to her website. And you can see all of them because there are a variety of them there. And I would think, personally, I would look at getting the big books.
Excuse me, I don't want to interrupt you, but I found it. I found
oh.
it. I knew it was here. I had to look it up in Italian. So it's called Formaggio, means cheese in Italian. And it's called Formaggio Montebore. That's the name. That's why I had B, but I was thinking for Montebore, Bore. So it's Montebore, Montebore. And that was supposed to be the official cheese that was at the wedding of La Gioconda, who is that's the nickname of Mona Lisa. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I just wanted to know. I found it. So it's called Montebore, Montebore, and that's the name of the cheese. And it's from Piemonte, also
like
Piemont, the Piemont region.
Yeah, I see that. There's a picture on, it's on Wikipedia, but it does show a picture of it. And it does look like a, this is
like a wedding, kind of a crude form of a wedding cake. Yes,
yes.
There you go.
Yes. Oh my God.
Is
it Italian? I can't
is it
but,
formed that way or is it fermented that way?
It's aged that way.
It's aged that way,
I believe. Oh, formed. I see what you mean. Yes, it's formed and then aged that way.
Oh.
Yes.
Look that
interesting.
Up.
And it actually comes from like the 1100. So it's from
I'm glad you found it. We
yes, I knew it was driving me nuts. I knew, yes. But anyway, so that's the cheese. I'm sorry. But anyway,
you speak Italian, obviously. Any other languages?
Yes, Yes, I do. Yeah. Well, I speak Italian, and I actually originally went to school to be a linguist. So I studied French for a long time, And unfortunately, I mean, I understand it and I read it and, you know, I still have it there, but it's languages are kind of like playing an instrument. You really have to practice them. So
I think
you lose them. Exactly. So I do try and read and, you know, whatever. So French is was kind of the language that I studied the longest. Italian, really, I didn't study for a long time. It's just that I learned it because my family spoke Italian, and then living in Italy, I learned it there. And then I know a little bit of Spanish because I studied a little bit in college, and it's very similar to, you know, somewhat similar to French and Italian, but Italian is I would consider that as my second language.
Uh-huh.
But it really helps studying the culinary arts, knowing French and Italian, because both of those languages are really, you know, lots of good information and things in French and Italian for the culinary arts, yes.
Mm, okay. So what I started to say on there, though, is these books, I think I would – recommend, and I don't know, but just looking at these, I would recommend actually getting the three books that we talked about, The Basic Art of Italian Cooking and the Da Vinci, the Holiday Edition, and The Basic Art of Italian Cooking, the Holiday Edition, and the Da Vinci Style. And those in hard copies, because you have recipes in all of those. And
yeah.
So it would be much easier just to have the recipes right there in front of you and all of those and
exactly.
have everything available. And then, you know, the other ones you can check out on Kindle or something. But, I personally would just, you know, look at it and do it that way. So,
yes.
Okay, Marie, anything else you would like to make comments on or?
Nothing else really that I can think of.
I thank you so much for taking your time out and joining us tonight. It was really quite educational. I learned a few things myself about not just the wines of Italy, but also I learned quite a bit about cooking and the cheese of Mona Lisa's wedding.
Yes.
Glad we found that.
So yes, me too. I'm really glad we found that. Yeah.
I heard Mike sigh when you said that too. He was happy.
Yeah.
So thank you very much for taking the time to join us tonight. It was a pleasure. And maybe sometime in the future we can get you back on again after
your new
book
definitely. Yes, definitely. I will let you know. And thank you so much for having me. I really enjoy being on the show too. Thank you.
Oh, it was our pleasure. Thank you very much and have yourself a wonderful evening.
You too. Thanks again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right, bye-bye. Bye.
Bye now.
Bye. Oh, yeah, I was going nuts. I was like, come on, if it's not on Google, it doesn't exist. And I kept running into these roadblocks.
She's just making
and,
it up.
I'm taking notes, and I'm like, I'm not finding anything. And some of these other ones are like, if you put Mona Lisa cheese in Google, you come up with, what was one? It said, it was a stupid thing. It said, Da Vinci tells Mona Lisa to say cheese. I'm like, no, that's not what it's about. You know, Mona Lisa, cheese in quotes, smile, you know, and I was like, no, I'm looking for cheese that you eat. So I tried other things. Yeah, I tried other things and it wasn't working. But
you would not have found it because she found it in the Italian.
Yeah. And when she said that and I put that in Google, the response was from an Italian website. And I go, I can't read this. You know, she's talking about it. I'm like, no.
That's why she was able to find it, because she knew the Italian.
Yes.
Yeah.
Totally different.
Totally. Totally.
Mona Lisa blue cheese. Like, no, that's not it. I did find the Brocchetto d'Acqui Rinaldi at Total Wine and More. Yep.
Oh, is it there?
They do have it at $29.99. They have it in stock in Wesley Chapel. I don't know about any place else, but yeah, there's other places. Could not find it on ABC Liquor, but the Total Wine does have it. Yeah,
Total Wine does a little bit more. Well, that sounds interesting. I might have to jump there and get some.
Don't know.
Very good.
Good trip over there. I haven't been to that one, actually. I don't know where that's at. It might be in that mall someplace. But I think the other one I went to, Total Wine, isn't there one on, or was there one on Dale Mabry, I think, in
there
Tampa?
There still is. Yeah, there still is. Okay. Right there, right off of 275. Yeah,
that's right. It's in a shopping thing, right?
Yeah, it's right next to it. Yeah, it's a building itself, but it's, it's right next to a shopping.
Yeah, it's been a while. I've been to Tampa.
I don't want to say mall, but stores and stuff.
Yeah, it's been a while. I just remember driving by it. Okay. Well, very good guest.
Good.
And
check
out her books. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to check it out. I got to find it. I could try to go to a Kindle store, and I like it is Amazon, and you have to be careful on Amazon because there's an Anna Maria Liberati who also is on there, but I don't think these are her books. So I got to do some more. Yeah, I was like,
that's an interesting thing. So if you're still listening out there, be careful. Be sure you get Maria Liberati.
Yeah.
Her picture is on the front of all three of the books. So, go to her website, which is, Maria Liberati. And once you get there, you can see the books and you can see her pictures on the front of all three of them. And so be sure it's her instead of Anna Maria. That's interesting. That there
totally
would be
Wow. this one right about. Right about Italy also, but it's more ancient Italy and history and stuff like that. So it's I don't see anything cookbook on it, and I have to check it out. They're listed on her website. So like you just told you, go to marialiberati.com and check out the books. Some very good reads, and go find them there. And I'm sure the links will take you to what you're looking for.
Yeah, and I'm interested in that one with Da Vinci. That sounds like she did some research on that and found a lot of interesting stuff about him, too. So that should be really interesting.
Very good. I might pick up the pasta one and got recipes and all kinds of good stuff. Okay.
Start cooking. Well, start cooking like your mom did.
Oh, man. I don't think I could ever get to that level because it was all homemade. You can check and see if the book is like that or how it's my Italian cooking is Stouffer's. Who else? Marie
boil
Callender.
Water,
there you go. That's
throw nice. Spaghetti in it.
Boil.
Open up the jar, put the sauce on it, eat it.
That's it. But hers was homemade tomato sauce, homemade everything. The noodles. Gosh, it was terrible. I'm surprised I'm not 400.
I know, and that's just it too. It just puts on so much weight on you eating that Italian food like that. Oh my God! And it's so good, and you can't stop, and you just keep eating, and then you go, "Why am I gaining weight?" That's why.
Pasta.
All the time.
Well, we have two more shows before. No, I don't know. Next week.
Well, we got one more. We have a guest.
Yeah.
And then
really?
That's 16th. Yeah, we have a guest next week. Jeff is going to be on. I don't know. I'll send you the stuff on it. And then the 23rd. We have a show then. Then the 30th, and then we go into another year.
We'll see how it plays out. Yeah, next week a guest. Okay, we'll look forward to it.
Next week we have a guest. let me see. There's one that I was talking to previously, and he I sent them a note and they said, yeah. Let's see, here it is. Jeff Shaw from Underground Cellars. He's the founder of Underground Cellar. And if not already familiar, Underground Cellar is a wine company that reimagined the way customers purchase and experience wine with this innovative gamification AI technology that is integrated at the core of the platform. So this could be interesting. Could be very interesting. So he'll be on next week. Let's see here, some points. Upcoming wine trends we're seeing based on the Underground Cellar's wealth of consumer data, how wineries are changing their playbook in post-COVID world, the most popular wine state by state, how to expand your wine palate without breaking the bank. You know, these are just some of the things that they said he would be happy to talk about. So, and if, you know, you're out there listening and you have any specific questions, you know, let me know this week and we'll be sure to ask him.
Yeah, absolutely. Email allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And let's see, what else? There was, I redid the website. So if you go to allaboutwinebtr.com, there's a little different look to it. I'm still working on it, but you might check that out. Something that I, instead of doing it external through a third party, I just do it in-house. So I just create my own look to it. So we'll see how that
goes.
And
you always do a great job, too. Yeah.
Well, thank you. It's really. I'm kind of figuring things out, but was redoing the websites and change things around and put it on my own setup. So we'll see how that works. But it is a work in progress.
Good.
So thanks all for tuning in. Thank you. And we'll see you all next week on December 16th at 7 p.m. with the guest again. And thank you all for tuning in. Send your inquiries and messages and questions for our guest or for Ron at allaboutwine101@gmail.com. And we'll see you all next week. Oh my God.
Be safe. See you next week.
All right. Thank you. Start the and go.
This concludes tonight's broadcast of All About Wine with your host, Ron. For show information, links to All About Wine on Twitter and Facebook, or to be a guest on this show, visit the show website at www.allaboutwinebtr.com. Archived shows are available for download on iTunes or on our show page at blogtalkradio.com/allaboutwine. Thank you for listening. Drink responsibly, and we'll see you next time on All About Wine.
Wow, that really ended at the loud volume. Okay, hold on. Oh, we're still on.
We're on. Let's go to the green room.